Well, good morning. Welcome to Church Online on, what's the date? The 7th of June. It's really good to see you. Please do comment, leave a message on the post. Let me know that you can hear me okay and that you're here. It's great to see you. I thought we'd start this week by doing something a little bit different, because it's very strange sitting here and not having anyone feedback or see anyone. So I thought I'd give you a couple of questions, and please do comment on the post. So the first one, I want someone to share what's the best thing that they've had to eat. Maybe you've had a bit more time and you've been practicing your culinary skills, and you've created something worthy of Bake Off. Would you please post and share with someone maybe the best thing you've cooked, the best thing that you've baked, or the best thing that you've eaten this week? And it would be good to see what people are saying. So I'll wait for a couple of those comments to go through. There's going to be a slight time delay while you hear this. So yeah, please do comment something that you've either baked this week or cooked, or something that was just really nice. It might even be a really nice takeaway that you want to share with everyone. And I'll see if the comments come up here. Here we go. Homemade shepherd's pie. That was good, actually. A hot banana. Baked. I don't know how you say that. No, I don't think you... Oh, that's good, Jenna. A kebab. Not baked. Ah, cookies. I'm with you on that one, Gary. We had a sausage and egg sandwich yesterday, and it was great. Henry just says last night's dinner. Not much detail there. Anyway, thanks. And then secondly, something really encouraging that happened this week, either to you or someone that you know, something really encouraging that happened. Thanks, Sharon. So the second question is something that really, really encouraging or exciting that happened to you this week. It's so weird not catching up with people and hearing what's going on. And of course we do the coffee hangout, but again, something encouraging or exciting. Oh, that does sound good, Henry. Thanks. It was honey mustard sausages with sweet potato wedges. Very nice indeed. So yeah, like I said, something encouraging or exciting that happened this week, please do share with us. Haven't had any message, maybe you haven't heard me yet. Anyway, it's really fun, isn't it? Ah, great. Granddaughter made a beautiful Victoria sponge. I think I've only ever made two cakes, so I need to start practicing. Ah, that's brilliant, Gary. Great to hear. After 3 years hard work, handed in finalist assignment. Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, it's so it's been weird that kids, and obviously we haven't got any kids yet, soon, haven't been able to see their grandparents. So it's great that that can be happening again. Great. Grandson very happy to be back at school. Thanks, Henry. Every day is exciting. That's good to hear after your first week. Debbie's going to be a nanny. Well, that is very exciting. First crop of strawberries. After all the sun, and now at least there's some rain. Brilliant. Well, it's so good to see those things, see all the encouraging things going on, really. A lot to be thankful for. So that's great. And keep posting, keep interacting. That's what church is about, isn't it? So I'll pray as we start this morning. Yeah. So Lord, thank you for another week. Thank you for the blessing of rain this weekend. And thank you that you are with us. You are always with us. You never forsake us. Be with us in each of our homes around Haverhill and Kennington and further afield. Bless this time together, and I just pray that it will be encouraging and uplifting. Amen. Okay, so just got a couple of notices to give. Firstly, thank you to everyone who took part in the Haverhill Half Day of Prayer. A group of us joined Paul at 11 o'clock at night, and it was really good. It was really encouraging, and it was a powerful time, and I'm sure many other people also prayed at that time and during the day as well. And how good was it to join with other churches and pray for our town and further afield over that day. So thank you for being involved with that. Secondly, just encourage you to get involved with the prayer times that are going on each week. So we are no longer meeting on a Sunday to pray, but we are meeting on Zoom on a Monday, 9 p.m. till 9:30, and Bill is hosting that. And Thursday lunchtime, 1 till 1:30, and Rob is hosting that. And it's just really good times to connect with each other and pray. Into prayer requests that are coming from Sunday, but also during the week. So I'd really encourage you to take half an hour of your lunch break to do that, or, you know, on a Monday night as well. Just take that time, and it's good, isn't it, to connect. The details of that are in the email newsletter that goes out each week, and also they're on the Facebook page. And also, you may have noticed in the notices at the start that the Zoom details were also there as well. So we're going to now have a worship song brought to us by Steve and Steph. So thank you guys for recording this. So do take a few minutes to reflect, to worship, and in your home, sing along. The words are going to be there. Hopefully it's one you know, and have this time to worship.
By grace alone, somehow I stand where even angels fear to tread. By redeeming love before the throne of God above, He pulls me close with nail-scarred hands into His everlasting grips my heart, and Satan tempts me to despair. I hear the voice that scatters fear. The great I am, the Lord is here. Oh, praise the one who fights for me and shields my soul eternally. Boldly I approach your throne, blameless now I'm running home. By your blood I come, welcomed as your own into the arms of majesty. Behold the bright and risen sun, more beauty than this world has known. Face with love Himself, His His perfect, spotless righteousness. A thousand years, a thousand tongues are not enough to sing His praise. Boldly I approach Your throne. Blameless now I'm running home. By Your blood I come, welcomed as Your own, into the arms of majesty. This is the art of celebration, knowing we're free from condemnation. Oh, praise the one, praise the one who made an end to all my sin. Boldly I approach Your throne. Blameless now I'm running home. By Your blood I come, welcomed as Your own, into the arms of majesty.
Well, thank you, Steve and Steph, for leading us in that. So now we're going to have Paul come to us and share a few thoughts from the Bible. It's been an interesting week, hasn't it? Throughout the world, really. And so Paul's just going to share a few thoughts around that. So, yeah, thank you, Paul.
Hi, good morning again. Let's just pray together, shall we, as we share some thoughts this morning. Lord Jesus, thank You for who You are and for what You do. And I pray, Lord Jesus, as we share some thoughts together this morning, that the things that are from You will challenge us and change us, things that are just of my thoughts that can fall to one side. But Holy Spirit, we want to be more like Jesus, and we want to be able to serve You more effectively. So speak to us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. Okay. Well, we have been thinking, haven't we, over the last few weeks about Acts 2, 42, 43 to 47, and we've been thinking a little bit about what it means to be part of such a community and how that particular church community developed and grew and what we can learn from them. And I was today going to continue on with that theme and thinking particularly in relation to thinking particularly about fellowship. And in one sense, you probably could say what I'm going to talk about touches on the area of fellowship, but I'm going to actually pick that up next week. And I felt quite sort of challenged over the last few days to just take a pause on that maybe and think about some sort of situation that we're seeing around the world at the moment that has come after the awful death of George Floyd at the hands of a police officer in the States. And just, I thought perhaps it would be appropriate, really, for me to perhaps just say a few words into that particular situation that might help us with the way that we process that and think about it, you know. I mean, it is an awful wickedness, isn't it, that that somebody's skin colour should determine the type of justice that they get. That just should not be the case, should it, in the world in which we live. That somebody's just that the sort of justice that somebody gets is determined by the color of their skin or the place where they live. So let me just offer a few thoughts. There's sort of three main sort of areas of thinking today that I'd like to just really touch on. Let me start with a wonderful scripture. And I'm going to screen share just for a moment. It's a wonderful scripture from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through to 10. After this, I had a vision of a great multitude, which no one could count from every nation, race, people, and tongue. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation comes from our God who is seated on the throne and from the Lamb." I think, you know, in one sense, what we see here in this beautiful scripture is John, in the revelation that is given to him and recorded for us in the book of Revelation, he gets a glimpse into heaven. He gets a glimpse into the eternity of God. And one of the things that he sees there is this great multitude that comes from many, many different races. It seems that their racial distinctions and their languages and the like are still evident into the eternity of God, but they worship with one voice. And it seems to me that what we're getting an idea of here is that the eternity of God, the future of the people of God, those who choose to follow Jesus Christ, is to be living in an eternity in which we celebrate our multiracial way in which God has created us with many different races, and we will be united in that community into the eternity of God. And in one sense, that puts a challenge for us to say, if we're going to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," what part of the answer to that prayer is to be praying, is to be seeking that our churches are reflective of the heavenly community? I think it was Martin Luther King that famously said that Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock was the most racially divided moment of the week in America in his day, and in sadly, in some respects, that's often still true. And where it is true, surely we've got to be doing something about that. Sadly, gladly as well, I'm pleased to say that there is, in many ways, also around the world, you know, moving beyond that, you will find that many, many churches are actually places where there is a celebration of multicultural and multiracial unity within the church. You know, many churches have many, many different nationalities in them now, particularly in this global village that we live in, where people are moving around the world all the time. I think at one time, even though we're like a little church in a sort of more rural context in many ways, you know, I think at one time we had 11 different nationalities in our church. And I love it. I love it. I think it's amazing. And so in one sense, what I'm saying here as we start this thinking is that surely church, because of the destination that we have into the eternity of God and the picture that is given to us of the eternity of God, church should be the community that leads in being the one in which there is an expression of people from many different races and colors of skin and cultures being able to be together and celebrate together and express a unity in Christ, in who they are in Christ. I had a story recently of a chap who went for a curry after a church meeting, and there was quite a few of them went. And the waiter, when he came to take the order, said, "You guys must be from the church." And he said, "You know what? Yeah, why is that?" He said, "Well, no other organization would have this many nationalities all together in a meal like this, you know." And that's what we want to hear, isn't it? That sort of thing. But now perhaps just a couple of thoughts that that might be a little bit more challenging, I guess, really. But I think I just would like to sort of just throw around and put out there for you to have a think about, really, as well. You know, we've been thinking about the day of Pentecost recently, weren't we? And thinking about how Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost. And when there had been a great move of God, you know, they'd all been together and the Holy Spirit had come powerfully, and people had been touched by God in amazing ways. And Peter gets up and he quotes from the prophet Joel, and he says, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will dream." But at the beginning of all that, sorry, he says, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." On all people. In other words, that the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, this which we were seeing, was something that was going to be for all nationalities, not just for the Jewish nation from which Peter came. And I guess Peter got that in that moment. And he thought, you know, and that he'd been with Jesus when Jesus had spoken to a Samaritan woman. Jesus at that particular moment had leapt across a racial distinction. You know, Samaritan people were not meant to mix with Jewish people. Sorry, Jewish people were not meant to mix with Samaritan people. A Jewish male was not meant to speak to a woman. To speak to a Samaritan woman, whoa. And Jesus in that moment jumped across huge racial and gender isms, if you like. And so I guess Peter probably thought that he was a fairly inclusive guy, and that, you know, he wasn't particularly racist, and that, you know, as a leader in the church, he was saying, you know, this is going to be for everybody. He thought that he was okay. Then fast forward, Acts chapter 10. And to cut a long story short, Peter is told by God, he's up basically having lunch and waiting for the lunch to be cooked and praying on the roof. And God talks to him about going and visiting, or gives him a call to go and visit a man called Cornelius. Now, Cornelius was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jewish person. And so Peter, in obedience to what God tells him, goes to this man's house. And he gets into the house, and the first thing he says when he's greeted by the people there, because Cornelius says, God told me to send for you and come and talk to us and tell us what God wants to say. And the first thing that Peter says is that, you know, basically, people like me don't come to the home of people like you. You know, culturally, it was taboo for a Jewish person to go into the home of a Gentile person. They thought it would be unclean. In actual fact, you know, they had a belief that they thought that's what the law taught. It's not what the law taught, if you study it carefully. But Peter still showed that he still had some emblems of that. It's a pretty rude thing to do, really, isn't it? You know, just get into somebody's home and basically say, well, I've come here because God's told me to, but I don't really like you. I don't want to be here. That's basically what he was communicating, wasn't it? So rude. So rude. And this man who'd stood on the day of Pentecost and said, God will pour out his spirit on all flesh, evidences the fact that he's still got some distance to go in this whole thing. Because as he starts to preach, the Holy Spirit comes in a similar way that he did on the day of Pentecost. And everybody in the room is touched by the Holy Spirit. And then Peter after that says, now I know that God has no distinctions in this, and that he's, you know, he is going to reach out to the Gentiles, and who am I to withhold God's blessing on these people? And he instructs that they should be baptized, and then he becomes a champion for the Gentile church. And you know, those of you who study these sorts of things, really, just it's an interesting message of the book of Acts that actually Luke makes sure that we see that Peter has a heart transformation to reach the Gentiles before Paul does. You know, and so he then holds that up in the council in Jerusalem, and so Peter becomes somebody who argues for these things. And I guess that thought that I just want to offer to you there is that Peter thought that he was in a certain place, and then when the moment came, God had to challenge him and change him. And do we have hearts that say, God, you know, I bet many of us would say, oh, well, I'm not racist. And then the moment comes, yeah. I think that racism actually touches all of us in one way or another. And I think it's fair to say to God, God, is there any unclean way in me? Show it to me, Lord, in this thing. And I pray, what I would love to encourage is each of us to say, like, whether we feel that we are racist or not, to say, God, is there anything in me that still contributes towards this thing? Is there any way that you need to challenge me so that I'm part of the answer and not part of the problem? A few years ago, when James, I think, was about 10, I'll just give you a silly little example of my own life, but, well, not that silly, really, but I think James was probably about 13 years old. I really can't remember exactly, but, you know, and I was telling a joke about an Englishman, a Scotchman, and an Irishman. Funny joke, as it happens, and then James was listening to it, and he said, Dad, that's racist. And I said to him, no, don't be daft, son, you know, that's over the top. Of course it's not racist. He said, yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it got under my skin, you know, and I thought about it a little bit more. And then I thought to myself, you know, he's dead right. He's dead right. I'm getting a cheap laugh at the expense of somebody else's racial distinction, if you like. And it's not right. years before I stopped telling sexist jokes, actually, jokes that, you know, her indoors type jokes or blonde type jokes, that sort of stuff, you know, because I came to the conviction that that was contributing towards getting cheap laughs at the expense of women, if you like, and that was contributing towards the problem and not being part of the answer. And I know some people think that that's over the top, but for me, in my own journey, you know, I thought I was in a certain place, but actually in that moment, and I thank God that James challenged me in that moment, that through my son, you know, I saw it differently. I saw it differently and moved forward in the journey. And so perhaps each one of us could say, God, you know, even if you think that you're okay, that you say, God, is there any you know, racism has many tentacles, you know, and is there any sense in which it's still affecting the way that I live my life as a Christian? And then just one other thought, really, you know, I was listening to a very moving and challenging interview this week between Carl Lenz and T.D. Jakes. It's quite a long interview, actually. And T.D. Jakes talks quite honestly in that about his own journey and his own experience of racism and the way that it's affected his life. Now, what I didn't realise, actually, was that T.D. Jakes' grandfather was murdered by white supremacists whilst his grandmother was pregnant with T.D. Jakes' dad. You know, that affects a person, doesn't it? And T.D. Jakes was caught, was named after his grandfather who was murdered. He was, you know, he was called T.D. Jakes as well. And then he talks about his own experiences within the black community and, you know, things like, you know, if I live on this side of town and I have a drug problem, I'm called a criminal. If I lived on the other side of town and I have a drug problem, I'm encouraged to go to rehab and get help, you know, and things like that, the injustices that he lives with and has lived with and how these things are not so far away. And in the context of that conversation, he talks about the parable of the Good Samaritan that many of us will know. It's a parable in which a religious leader says to Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love one another. And he wants to justify that statement. And so the religious leader says, you know, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells the parable of a man who on a journey is attacked by robbers and he's left for dead at the side of the road. And two religious leaders, a Levite and a priest, walk past, see the man and just walk on by on the other side. Then the Samaritan comes along, somebody who a Jewish person at that particular moment in time wouldn't really want to have a lot of time for, comes past. He's the one who picks up the injured person, puts him on his donkey, takes him to the inn and pays for his well-being thereon. And of course, the point of the story really is that the religious community, the religious leaders, you know, who would speak about the love of God, when it really came to it, just walked on by and did nothing. And T.D. Jakes, in the context of that parable, says, you know, we can often say I'm not part of the problem, but we do nothing. We see the injustices in our world, including racial injustice, and we can say, well, I'm not racist, but we still walk on by, we walk on past. And how is the church? You know, we've done that so often. We've just turned a blind eye. We've done nothing and we've walked on by. And it's a deeply challenging thought, isn't it? That doing nothing sometimes. In fact, he talked, and I appreciate this is quite graphic and, you know, harsh, but it did get the point across, really. He says that, you know, often when, you know, you're working with abused people who have been abused in their childhood, they are as angry with the parent who ignored the abuse as the person who propagated the abuse. The person who saw what was happening and for whatever reason just chose to say nothing. And are we like that sometimes as Christians? You know, we think, well, we're not, I'm not racist, but actually when we see something that we could do something about, we just walk on by. So in the context of this current, movement, if you like, this current wave of of anger and frustration. Now, of course, you know, some of the violent aspects and that we're seeing of this, where, you know, that's not right. Peaceful protesting is right, if you're right. And personally, certainly, I'm not about to go and join one of the marches or something like that, because I think that, you know, our COVID season means that we should still socially isolate in the best way that we can. So I don't think that that's appropriate personally, and won't be doing that. But asking myself, is there any sense in which I still have an expression of racism in my heart, is something to do, and to let God expose that and speak to me about it, and then ask for his help, like Peter needed the help of the Holy Spirit to go past his particular identification of racism at that moment. God, is there any sense in which I need you to help me? And if you do, Holy Spirit, help me to come through the other side. And is there any area where I'm just walking on by, ignoring and thinking, no, that's okay? It's not okay, really, is it? So let's be praying, shall we? Praying for our brothers and sisters and our friends around the world who live with injustice every day. Let's be praying for ourselves that we identify and deal with any form of racism or other isms in our hearts that are not Christ-like. And let's be praying and let's try and let's seek as best we can to not just walk on by, but to contribute actively towards the solutions that reflect the kingdom of God, that reflect this great heavenly community of every tribe, nation, and tongue standing before the throne, worshiping the Lamb with one voice, declaring that this, you know, let's reflect the eternity of God in our congregations and in our church communities and in the way that we live life as best we can. The Lord bless you. Appreciate quite a strong message today. But, you know, these are times in which we have to wrestle with the sorts of issues that are going to bring the kingdom of God in a real way into our world. God bless.
Thank you, Paul. Amy's joined me for the next little bit. So we're going to spend some time in prayer. And I thought it would be great as we individually and as our families respond to what Paul said, that we take a few minutes of silence in our homes to reflect and to pray into things that Paul talked about there. So let's do that, and then we'll pray more widely. Thank you, God, that you are with us, and just help us. I pray, as we, well, as the world is in this rocky season, help us all individually to know how to respond, and how to be your light and your love in our neighbourhoods, to our neighbours, to our communities, Lord. God, we pray for the people we know at the moment who are dealing with bad health, whether that be COVID-19 or something else, Lord, but we, you know, each of us and who is affected and who in our loved ones needs a healing touch, Lord. So I just pray for those people that we know, for a healing touch, that any illness or virus or anything will go in Jesus' name. And we just pray for the spread of the virus, and we particularly think of Haverhill and the surrounding areas and Suffolk. We just pray that it will be brought under control, and the hospitals will have everything they need to deal with it, and people will receive good care. And we do just pray for the key workers, that they'll have everything they need. Give them peace, give them strength, and give them wisdom, as they've been. These people have been working so hard for months now, and just give them, peace. And we pray for those key workers in our church, who every day really are putting their lives at risk. And we just pray for strength, and we pray for protection, Lord. Mm-hmm. And we pray more widely for our leaders in this town, in this county, in this country, for wisdom, as every day they are making decisions and working out how we respond to the virus, in terms of people health, but as the economy and all the other factors as well. We just pray for wisdom. Give them wisdom, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Great. So we're going to finish by sharing communion together, as we do each week. As we were reflecting on the events over the past few weeks, it really struck me that this shared meal of communion is a powerful expression of our equality and our oneness. You know, all are equal at the cross. We all have an equal need of Jesus and the restoration that he offers us. And also, communion is a meal that was designed to be shared. You know, it's not really something we should do individually, which just emphasizes our need for one another, and that we are all one and united under Jesus. So as we take this communion together across our different houses, wherever we are, locally, globally, let's remember Jesus together, but also remember that it's an expression of our equality. And it's an expression of our fellowship that is meant to be radically loving and inclusive. So as we take it, I'm going to read from Luke 22, and let's take it together. So Jesus said this, and he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Lord Jesus, we do this in remembrance of you. We do this in the remembrance of the gift of grace that you offer freely to each one of us. And we want to accept that gift. Lord, thank you that you set us free from our sins and you transform us into better images of you. And Lord, thank you that as we share this meal together, it forms us into one body united under you. And we pray for more of that. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So we've come to the end of our time together. As each week, we have got the coffee hangout afterwards, so please do connect on Zoom with that. I'll share the graphic in a second. Rob and Joe are hosting it today. So it'll be great to see you there, and have a blessed week. So I'll just pray as we finish.
And please put your prayers in the comments if you want us to pray for anything this week.
Yeah. Good stuff. Brilliant. Well, Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for all the blessings that we have. And I just pray a blessing over each household that are watching this, that they may know you just so well this week. And Lord, thank you that we can join and we can connect and we can be church in this place for such a time as this. Amen.
Amen.
Have a brilliant week, and we will see you very soon.
See you soon.